Macmillan Audio presents Midnight Sins by Laura Lee. Read for you by Claire Claremont. Chapter 1. Cambria at 13. It would have been amusing if it hadn't had the potential to be so dangerous. Jamie Flanagan Kramer watched as her younger sister Cammie sneaked another shy look at Rafer Callahan, one of Corbin County's three bad boys and the man Jamie's deceased husband had claimed as a blood brother. He was also the man she was sleeping with, but that wasn't as important as the fact that he was her best friend. And he knew, just as well as she did, that sleeping with him was her attempt to stay close to the husband who was forever gone. He had been Ty's best friend, his blood brother, and the only man she knew who even came close to her soulmate. She turned her gaze away from Cammie and Rafe and let it sweep over the crowd attending the Saturday night social. Jamie loved the name of the county's weekly street party and dance that had become a tradition of almost required attendance. The mayor and city officials pushed the weekend socials the way some towns pushed voting, sports arenas, and political agendas, wholeheartedly. Corbin County and its seat, Sweet Rock, promoted their drug awareness and children first agenda with the same passion and strength. They had adopted the slogan more than a generation before and made certain everyone knew they meant it. Friday after school, the community center opened and any child enrolled in school from Head Start to college was welcome. BYOSB, bring your own sleeping bag, was the rule. But there were so many donated bags that it really wasn't necessary. City officials, employees, and any and all teachers from tenured to substitute were required to give one weekend per month to chaperone the social, as well as the community center. Families donated the food and drinks that were prepared in the community center's kitchen, and parents, who didn't stay around to help chaperone, were forced to sign a legal release stating that if they left their children at any time in the care of the county's volunteers, the parents rescinded all rights or legal abilities to sue in the event of accident. However, all manner of ills could befall anyone who chose not to participate. Permits could get lost or delayed, mail could be misplaced, utility workers could move at a much slower pace, and just forget getting out of that speeding ticket. And that was nothing compared to what local business owners could do. City Hall had begun the socials, and their commitment to providing something entertaining and supervised for the county's youth had been sustained for over 20 years. It had grown to the point that if that commitment lapsed in any way, then newspapers and radio stations found the phenomenon strange enough to report it. Corbin County had found that the key to keeping their youth away from delinquency or drugs was to give them something to do, and it was still working. Parents and teens mingled in the dance area, while the younger children played games or watched supervised videos. Parents took the few hours break to dance, socialize, and build not just friendships, but also those all-important ties that sustained a community. But there were undercurrents. Undercurrents existed in any town. It wasn't all sweetness and light. For Corbin County, those undercurrents seemed to swirl most viciously around Rafer Callahan and his cousins, Logan and Crow, the three disowned grandchildren of Corbin County's founding and most influential families. Crow, Logan, and Rafer Callahan were each the son of a reigning princess of one of those founding families and the Callahan brother she had married. Many said those three unions were born of the murders of the brothers' parents. The couples had died in a suspicious accident on a mountain road. Within days of their deaths, the Rafferty, Corbin, and Roberts patriarchs had arrived at the courthouse with a bill of sale and proof of purchase of the extensive Callahan lands bought by the three men. When their sons, Samuel, David, and Benjamin, returned from the military to a pittance amount for prime land, they turned their attention to the daughters of these families. The Callahan brothers had acquired more than they had ever lost when they married those daughters, at least for a few years, until a freak blizzard had swept through the Colorado mountains. The storm had surprised the three couples who were returning from Denver.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?